this morning we're going to be looking at that. And we're going to really just look at Isaiah chapter 9 together. Benson actually read that scripture this morning about a light that has come and dawned in our darkness. Hallelujah. And so that is really the story of Christmas. And people are getting ready for Christmas, and there's Christmas shopping. The mall's probably crazy already this morning. My daughter, I've got a four-year-old grandson, and my daughter said to her grandson this week, you need to do a letter to Santa to tell Santa what you want for Christmas. And he said to her, it shows you the different generations. He said to her, Mom, why do we have to do a letter? Why don't we just send Santa a voice note? So you can write a letter or you can send a voice note to Santa, whatever works for you. But this is that time of the year. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, friends, as we approach Christmas, and come and join me again next on the Tuesday on Christmas Day. Bring your friends along as we continue this theme. But as we approach Christmas, let's see it as a tremendous opportunity for the gospel. Because my message this morning is that in Christmas, the gospel is hidden. The gospel is hidden in Christmas, and we need to just be aware and awake at this time in order to be able to share the gospel with our friends. Even though Christmas is really a secular holiday, a global holiday, but really in it, the gospel is still hidden. And that's what we want to look at over the next 2 weeks. And even in South Africa, which has become more and more secular, even Easter is now called Freedom Day and Family Day. Nevertheless, the gospel still comes out in these two major holidays of the year, which is Christmas and Easter. Can you say amen? And often people are celebrating Christmas unaware of what they're celebrating. They're kind of shopping, and this is a break from my boss, and I can have some time at home and so on. But actually, the gospel is part and part of that as well. Even though on the 25th of December, initially it was a pagan festival that the early church used to date the birth of Christ. And Christmas trees originally came from Germany, where people used to hang apples on them in order to remember the paradise tree in the Garden of Eden. So even though you've got these developments, still the gospel shines through Christmas. Gifts remind us of the gift of God giving His Son. And concern for the poor needy come from the fact that Jesus was part of a poor family. And it reminds us of that. And Christmas lights speak of the light of the gospel that penetrates our darkness. Hallelujah. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And so my first point is this, that the gospel is hidden in Christmas. And to understand Christmas is to understand something of the gospel. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in deep darkness, on them the light has shone. And one of the first signs of Christmas, they seem to be starting earlier and earlier these days in October or November, is the presence of lights, Christmas lights, and lights on trees. And Antoinette's there's a house down the road from Antoinette in Bissett Road. The whole house lights up at night. You can drive past and have a look if you like. And these lights are not just decorative, but they're also symbolic of the light of God that's broken into our darkness. And so at Christmas time, we're celebrating that. We're celebrating the fact that the light of God has come and penetrated our darkness. We're privileged because our eyes have been opened to this gospel light. Hallelujah. And we're a church that loves to celebrate the gospel and to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. Matthew chapter 13, verse 16 says, Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hallelujah. So if you're a Christian this morning, you are very privileged because God has opened your eyes. Just turn to the person next to you and say, God has opened my eyes. Hallelujah. God has opened my eyes to see who Jesus is. And the Christmas message is that the gospel is hidden there. God's light has come. Even the wise men, the magi, they said, we saw his star when it rose above all the other stars. Jesus is the bright and morning star. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Lord of Glory. We were singing this morning light of the world, you step down into darkness. You open my eyes and you let me see. Hallelujah. And friends, we're incredibly privileged to have God open our eyes. There are people in our families whose eyes have not been opened yet. There are colleagues we know at work and friends we have whose eyes have not been opened to the gospel. But we are privileged. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. They see the gospel. They see me. Hallelujah. My recent trip to Australia, the theme of the conference was send the light into the world. Send the light into the darkness. And friends, when God shines on us, it's like the sun. It brings illumination. It opens things up. God's light reveals Jesus to us and the way of salvation, that He died on the cross for our sins, that if I turn away from my sins and believe in Him, I'll receive eternal life. Hallelujah. And when you meet Christ, He illuminates the whole of your life. You begin to see all things differently. He begins to open you up to the wonders of heaven, and you begin to understand about yourself because His light reveals things and it illuminates things. Even in the sporting realm, they say bad light stop play. Bad light is not good for you. But God's light comes and illuminates and it opens things up. And just as natural light reveals things in the natural, so the light of God enables us to see things in the spirit as they really are. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? That's what the light of God does to us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, just turn me down a little bit. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Friends, He is the light when all other lights go out. Jesus is the light. In the darkness of anxiety, He brings peace. In the darkness of death, He brings life. In the darkness of ignorance, He gives us knowledge. In the darkness of sin, we receive salvation. Hallelujah. It's a complete reversal of your situation. And people and nations that have turned to the Lord have experienced prosperity and life and light. And you begin to see things. Just imagine where you were if the light of the gospel hadn't come to you. Just imagine perhaps where you would be today. And the light of the gospel has penetrated your darkness. And friends, the Bible tells us that the light is shining on us. It doesn't come from us. The fundamental difference between Christians and the world is the world says the light will actually somehow come out of us. Well, good luck. But the gospel says, no, the light comes onto us. The light is shining on us. Hallelujah. We don't have the answers to the world's deepest problems. That's why it must come from outside of us. That's why God had to send His Son, because the darkness is actually an evil power enslaving us, blinding us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't know if you read the news a lot, but Albert Einstein, they've just celebrated 60 years of his death. Einstein, who gave us the theory of relativity, and they're still trying to work out these things. And one of the things you may not know is when he died and they did an autopsy on him, the guy that did the autopsy secretly removed his brain. And he chopped it up and made lab slides out of it. Because they wanted to study Einstein's brain to see, you know, was it different to anybody else's brain? This great genius. And they kind of smuggled it, and they've kind of lost his brain for a while, and then someone found it somewhere. And they were saying, well, actually, it's a little bit smaller than normal brains, but it still looks the same, and all the rest of it. And along with this, there was like an interest in Einstein again. They found a handwritten letter from Einstein, probably the greatest, most brilliant mind, one of the most brilliant minds who ever lived. And he's grappling with religion. And so they sold this little letter. It's a short little letter on the auction. They thought wouldn't get much for it, but they got $2.9 million. It's called the God Letter. And it was written in 1954. And in the letter, Einstein takes issue with the belief in God. And he says this. He says, the word God for me is nothing but the expression or the product of human weakness. The Bible is a collection of primitive legends. He says, no interpretation, no matter how subtle, can for me change anything about this. And so here was a man with great intelligence, but he was blind. You can be brilliant and blind. You can be highly educated and foolish. Because only Jesus can open our eyes. Only Jesus can release us from sin's blinding power so that you see clearly again. Hallelujah. So that you never walk in the darkness. Hallelujah. And so that's what we're saying. We're saying the gospel's hidden in Christmas. Let's remember that at this time. But secondly as well, Christ is also hidden in Christmas. That's what we're celebrating. This verse says to us, a son is given. A son is given. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called. What was his name called? Wonderful Counselor. What else? Come on, help me this morning. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his peace and government, there will be no end. And so the light of God has shone in the face of Jesus. Recognition of Jesus is the key to the whole of life. When you are clear about him, you clear about everything else. And Jesus will not just save you, but he will lead you into all truth. Because all truth is God's truth. Can you say amen? All truth is God's truth. And God's truth breaks in different ways. In the gospel, in righteousness, in different ways, God's truth breaks in. It's just wonderful. It's been wonderful for me to watch in this country just how the truth is being upheld in the courts and by our judges. You might not, there's been a lot of written about Zuma and Ramaphosa, but do you know that God gave us in the Chief Justice Langa and now in Mokgweng Mokgweng, we have strong Christians that are heading up our judiciary. Can you say amen? And there's a sense in which they're helping to keep the country on track. And we need to pray for those in the legal profession. We need to pray for those in the judiciary because they are bringing truth where there's been darkness. And they're bringing clarity where there's been confusion. It's not perfect, but God is using it because his truth is being upheld. Hallelujah. And friends, when you see the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus, it's like a creative act. When God said in the Garden of Eden, he said, let light shine out of darkness. When you become a Christian, what happens is God causes his light to shine in your life as well. And he separates you from the darkness. He separates you from the darkness and he causes your mind, as Masala was saying last week, to be renewed. There's a verse in Ephesians that says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So it's not just having a brilliant mind, but it's your attitude. It's your feelings, it's your thinking around your mind that needs to be renewed by the gospel. Hallelujah. That's why God's word is so important. And that comes through meeting Christ. And so Christmas is about giving and receiving gifts. And Jesus is the greatest gift you will ever receive. Hallelujah. God in the flesh. In the Old Testament. And people struggle with the Old Testament. God turns up in a burning bush. And he's on a mountain and it's smoking and shaking. And then he's in the temple. And the priests used to shake when they went into the temple. Their little bells on their garments. So when they heard the bells, they knew the priest was still alive in the Holy of Holies. Because it was a fearful thing to be in the presence of a holy God. And then we turn the page and we come to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, God draws near to us in very different ways. I loved what Colleen said this morning. He's dependent on a Jewish teenage girl. He's born to the Virgin Mary. And he's born in the form of a baby boy. Friends, in Jesus, God comes close. He's close. He's God in the flesh. He's touchable. At the heart of Christianity, listen carefully, is not a set of theology. It's not a set of principles. It's not doctrine. It's a person. And his name is Jesus. And all doctrine and theology flows from that. But it's about Jesus. It's about him. J.R. Packer says, when God showed up in Christ, He was not a pillar of fire. He was not a tornado, but a baby. Just think about that. There's nothing like a baby. Can you say amen? Everybody loves babies. Even young children can have their own agenda and run from you. Send Santa a voice note. But little babies can be picked up, hugged, kissed, and they hold on to you. Why did God come in the form of a baby? And not a firestorm or a windstorm? Because this time he's come not to bring judgment, but to bear judgment. He's come to take away our sins. He's come to help us. We were helpless. He's come to help us. Jesus is God with us. He's God with us. It brought him near so that we can have fellowship with him. And so, friends, listen carefully. When you kiss the face of that baby, you kiss the face of God. You kiss the face of God in the form of a helpless little baby. It's mind-blowing. And so, friends, Christ is, he's given to us. He's given to us as a gift. To put you in right relationship with God. The gospel is really a free gift. That's what the gospel is. All you have to do is stretch out your hand as a beggar, as Luther said, and receive it. The gospel is a free gift. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so, friends, that's the real Christmas message. The real Christmas message is God has given us his son as a gift. We've all had our Christmas presents already. And his name's Jesus. Hallelujah. But thirdly, you and me, we are also hidden in the gospel with Christ. You are Christ's hidden agent at the Christmas table, in your family, at the workplace. People see you, but they don't recognize you. They think they know you, but they don't know you fully. They see you in the natural, but they don't see you in the spirit. Which is why your testimony is so important. Why are you like you are? Tell us a bit more. You jump in. Because when you become a Christian, you become the light of the world. You carry God's light in you because you're united with Christ. When a Christian is walking with God, you become a flashing light in this present darkness. We have a secret supply of life and power. And others may not understand where this life comes from, but we know. And friends, one day he will be revealed when he returns. And when he is revealed, we will be revealed. Dramatically, gloriously, suddenly, and globally. That is our hope. 1 Corinthians 15 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, those that are living, the Christians that are living, for we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. There will be a trumpet sound, a global, for some terrifying, for others glorious trumpet sound across the whole universe. And suddenly the heavens will open and you will see Christ appearing with all his angels in power and in glory and in triumphant might. And he will return. And the dead will be raised. And those that are living will be caught up to be with the Lord forever. And nothing will be hidden any longer. When the Son of God is revealed, the sons of God will be revealed. Colossians chapter 3 says this, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Right now, Jesus is hidden from many people and we need to make him known. Right now, you are hidden and I'm hidden from many people and one day God will make us known. We will appear with him and he will appear with us. Right now, Jesus is spiritually present with us, but unseen. And we are also, in a sense, unseen. But when Jesus appears, everything will be seen for what it really is. Because your secret source of life will be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled amongst all who believe. Friends, when Jesus lights up the world for all to see, then Christ in us will be lit up for the world to see. You will be overwhelmed at your first sight of him, and you will be overwhelmed at your first sight of him in you, because you will also light up in Christ. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3 says this, beloved, are you getting excited this morning? Beloved, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. The first sight of Jesus will completely transform us on that day. We've been getting our Christmas lights ready. And this is one of our, you know what this is. This is a little solar light. And it says here on top, it says here, connect the dots to turn on. And so this has been in the sun. But when you connect the dots, bunk, it comes on. Hallelujah. And one day, friends, when you see Jesus and he sees you, there will be a connection. And the lights will come on. And you will begin to glow. And you will be glorified. And people will see you for who you really are. And say, my goodness, is that Nassim? He looks a bit different. As you see, so shall you be. Inside your body right now, even if it is failing, are the blueprint for your resurrection body. And we will be thrilled with our resurrection upgrades. Hallelujah. Because then you'll be able to serve God throughout all eternity with a spiritual body. I can't work that out. And so, friends, we believe in the resurrection of the body. Greek philosophy talks about the immortality of the soul. The Bible talks about the resurrection of the body. One day we will be raised with Christ. We will be hidden no longer. It will be a glorious body like Jesus. It'll be powerful. It'll be spiritual. We have a natural body for earthly life, and we'll have a spiritual body for spiritual life. It will be for use in the new heavens and the new earth, where everything will be glorified. Even nature will be glorified. The whole of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. It's groaning, waiting, waiting, waiting. And one day when Jesus is revealed, the whole universe will be renewed. The grass, the trees, the animals, and us will be renewed. And Jesus will be the light in the heavenly Jerusalem. No need for Eskom. Praise God. And so a relationship with Jesus is decisive when you die. It's not possible to be right with God and wrong with Jesus. There's no second chance. And so, friends, we have assurance. As I bring this to a close, we have assurance with God now. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, jump on board quickly. Give your life to Christ. And we have great anticipation of what we will be then. The Bible says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's why it's called paradise. That's what's called paradise. That's the only word the Bible can find. He says, it's paradise. Paul says, I was caught up to paradise. Said, I saw and heard things that I can't even describe to you. I can't even tell you about. And so what we are now is hidden from the world. But what we will be then has been hidden from us. The world does not know us fully because it doesn't know him fully. But when they see him, they'll see us. And others will have their sins exposed. And we will have our righteousness displayed. It'll be the righteousness of Christ. And we will admire Jesus, and he will admire us. And we will admire one another. We'll say, gee, you look great. Nothing will be hidden. And it's all part of God's original creation intent to make us in the image and likeness of God. And we will shine forever with the glory of God in Christ. And your heavenly reward, listen carefully, your heavenly reward will somehow be visible in your body. First Corinthians 15:41 says, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. And one star differs from a star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. Be raised to glory according to how you've lived and how you've served God and your faithfulness. And so friends, as I close, we live now in this amazing gospel age. Ephesians says you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Be what you are. Keep moving into the light. Keep moving away from the darkness. It's like when the sun moves. You want to catch a suntan. You have to keep moving your deck chair. As a Christian, keep moving yourself so that you, what does the Bible say? It says, walk in the light as I'm in the light. In God, there is only light, no darkness at all. Walk in the light. Be what you are. Charles Spurgeon says this, my final quote. He says, we stand between two mornings, between which there is no evening. The light of God has come in the first coming of Christ, and the glory of God will appear in the second coming. The darkness was broken at his first coming. Hallelujah. And for us, there will be no more darkness at the second coming. There'll be no darkness. No shadows, nothing hidden. And so the Bible says, let's walk as children of light. Let's put on the armor of light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And glorify your Father who is in heaven. Even at Christmas time. That's why it's hidden Christmas. But in that hiddenness is the gospel. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?